When we talk about real men, one of the most challenging things that men are facing is that the male is struggling with something he doesn't even understand. And when a man is confused, everybody is confused. So I want to talk about why males suffer identity crisis. It has to do with not understanding their gift. Every human came to earth with a gift, and they must discover that gift and refine that gift for them to be fulfilled. When a male especially is struggling with who he was born to be, what his gift is, it affects the woman. So I'm talking about understanding true manhood. Please write this statement down. You were born a male, but you must become a man. Being male or female is a biological reality. You didn't choose that. But whether you become a woman or a man is a choice. But it's connected to some critical issues. And that leads me to point number two. Write this down. What is manhood? The average male is struggling with this question. What does it mean to be a man, a real man? What is real manhood? Another question that we struggle with as men is, what makes a male a man? What actually makes him a man? And why is manhood important to a woman? You know, when men don't know who they are, women are in trouble. Manhood is not defined by the roles that you perform. The key to a man's manhood is his work. Everybody say work. The key to man's manhood is his work. Man's work defines him. Let me say something about work. If a man is not happy with his work, he won't be happy with his home. Work is more important to a man than a woman. If a man isn't working, he's disoriented. He becomes disillusioned. He becomes confused. God gave man work before he gave him woman. That's why we have a nursery, you know. This is going all over the world. It doesn't represent us too well. God gave man work before he gave him woman. Work shows up in the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Woman shows up in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. God didn't make woman until man had work. So the most important thing that a man really needs is not woman. It's work. A woman can never make you a man. Work makes you a man. This is so good. Listen to me. God made the man, the male. Then God gave him work. Then God said, it's not good for this man to be alone. I will make him a help suitable to help him. To help him with what? Work. Women were created to work. But they were created to work with the work of the man. So if a woman was created for the purpose of working, but her work is to work with the work of the man, and the man can't find his work, then when the woman shows up in his life, you got two problems. She comes to help him do nothing. Let's read Genesis 2:15. Here's what it says. And the Lord God took the man that he had made and put him in the Garden of Eden. First statement, to work. And then to cultivate. And to take care of it and to guard the garden. And the Lord then commanded the man, do not touch the tree. This is all the instructions God gave to the male in this one sentence. Work. Look at the list. He says, work, cultivate, protect, teach. Work, cultivate, protect, teach. The word Eden is the place God put him. Work is what God told him to do. So Eden is an atmosphere of God's presence. Work is what God assigned him to do in that presence. Then afterwards God said, I will give him a woman to help him. You know, nothing to me is more beautiful than watching a man who found his work have a woman in his life helping him do it. It's the most beautiful picture. I have a little secret joy in my heart, a little secret joy. And I'm so glad. Please, I'm not picking on people because they're here or whatever. But I just think it's such a good example. I look at my son Ken back there, Christian Massive. You know, when they singing, it ain't him I looking at, you know. It's his wife. One time I saw them singing on stage and she had the baby in her hand and she was singing. And the old friend prancing up and down, jumping up and down. But she was there in a beautiful picture, singing. She's helping him work, even with the child. That's the most powerful part of his ministry. Not his songs. It's when people see that picture. Work. Okay, what is work? The first commandment God gave man was work. And work is defined as, well, I was shocked when I found out what it is. And I shared it with the men yesterday. And I simply want to show you how to find your work today. And then we're going to go home. The word work means to become. I thought it meant to do something. But the word that God uses is another word that we don't think about. It means to become. The word also means to manifest yourself. The word work is also defined in Hebrew as to reveal yourself. When God took the man, put him in the garden, God told the man, reveal yourself. That's work. Another way to put it, work means to fulfill your assignment. Let me see what's on the inside of you. Show the world what I hid in you. That's work. Work means to become yourself. In other words, work means to perform your function. When a bird is flying, God calls that work. When a fish is swimming, God calls that work. When a seed is becoming a tree, God calls that work. Let me ask you a question then. If a boy was born to fly and a boy begins to fly and that is called work, do you think the bird is enjoying its work? Sure. In other words, when you are working, you are at the greatest level of fulfillment. Work. The male was commanded to work, which meant that he was commanded to become himself. Let me give you another thought on this. I know you're writing, but write fast. Every human was created for and with a gift of value. And I'm reviewing this for the sake of the men who were not there yesterday because I want to show you how to find this gift. Every one of you, male and female, was created by God with a gift of value. And that is where you're supposed to lead, in that area of gifting. And your fulfillment is in that gift. Therefore, the male was given, first of all, a gift. And you can never lose a gift. You know, the Bible says the call of God is without recall. Say that with me. The call of God is without recall. In other words, once God gave you something to do, he never takes it back. Even if you misuse it. If you use your gift of music to sing garbage, God allows you to keep the gift. Here's my point. Whatever gift God buried in you to come to the planet to manifest, you still have that gift now. Even if you never used it before. Why is that important? Because you didn't come to the earth with a job or with a career. That's why they could fire you from your job, take it from you, or they can cancel your career by shutting down the company or making you redundant. But they cannot take your gift. And the Bible never says your education or your job shall make room for you in the world. Your gift is your source of significance. Do you know what every male in this room wants? He wants to be significant in the eyes of his wife or his family. Do you know what men call that? Respect. The number one motivation of a male is to be respected. To be respected means that you are perceived as being important, significant. Well, gentlemen, I'm telling you how to become respected. Find your gift. Because your gift makes the women in your life have meaning. It gives them meaning. It gives you meaning, but it gives them meaning also. And so your gift is the source of your significance. What makes Tiger Woods significant? Not his education. What makes him important? He has a gift. What made Michael Jordan significant? It wasn't what school he went to or, you know, who his parents are. It was his gift. The power of a gift. Write this down. Whatever God calls for, he provides for. God will never demand from you what he didn't put in you. That's number one. I call these the key principles of gift. Number two, whatever God demands, he supplies. Number three, whatever God expects, he injects. Number seven, whatever God assigns, he designs. Number eight, whatever God calls out, he puts in. These are important truth principles. Number six, birds were made to fly. So God built flight into birds. Birds never attend flight school. Fish were made to swim. So you never find a fish attending a swimming lesson. The swim is built into the fish. Seeds become trees, but you never find a seed going to a convention to learn how to grow trees. It's built in. Here's the principle. Whatever God created you to become is not outside of you. It's inside of you. Let me tell you something why that's important. You can take a seed and plant it in a bad economy, and it still becomes a tree. Listen, when the hotel closes down, the birds still fly over it. Do you get what I'm talking about? No, you don't. You sure you get it? See, this. Once you realize that your future is not around you or ahead of you, then you become peaceful. Because God put your future where you know He can't, you can't miss it. And we go looking for it everywhere except where it is. When a human finds their gift, they will make it anywhere. Are you listening to me? You cannot fire a gift. This is important for men. Because you see, when a man loses his job, he loses his head. Why? He confused the job with his gift. He confuses the job with his work. You don't go to work. You go to a job. And the job might be there or might not be there. You need to ask God, what is my gift? Do you know that the greatest entrepreneurs in history, like Steve Jobs, who created the laptop computer, or Bill Gates, who created software, they created them at home. In his garage, the guy built the first desktop in his garage. What are you doing with your garage? Well, I'm waiting for opportunity. The opportunity is in your body. Amen. Think, men. You know, God never gave Adam a table. Never gave Adam a chair. Never gave Adam a house. He even ain't give him clothes. Why? God hid the tables in the trees. I wonder what's hidden around you, right in your yard. If your wife just knows, and if you ain't married yet, man, listen carefully. If you have a woman in your life, you get married. If your wife knows that you can never get fired, she'll always be secure. How do you become immune to firing? Find something they can't fire. Your gift. When I first read Bill Gates' story, I was shocked. Bill Gates used to work for IBM. Did you all know that? Yeah. And IBM saw him just as a little employee. And he came with this idea of this software. Remember those DOS, cursor, DOS foolishness? He was working when they had that. And he came with another idea that says, let's take all that DOS stuff and put it behind a thing and make it just a click. They said it'll never work. So they released him from the job. His gift was right in the middle of their factory. Now they buy in from him. I wonder what your gift is. You going to work tomorrow? Or are you going to a job? The place you go should tap into your gift, not just give you a salary. Are you growing? Are you using your talents where you are? Write this down, please. The key to success. I gave the men this yesterday. I want to give this to you again this morning. The key to success is, first of all, not to seek success. I keep repeating this all the years. I never stop repeating this. This is very important. Number two, the key to success is to become a person of value. That's how you become successful in the human terms. The more valuable you make yourself, the more successful you'll become in life. So stop trying to be successful and try to become valuable. Why? Write this down, please. Everybody, write this down. Money is attracted to value. Say it. If you want plenty of money, don't go after money. Make yourself valuable. Money will find you. Money is attracted to value. The more value you give yourself to the world, the more the world will pay for you. I ask people, what are you? For instance, I'm a lawyer. I says, second question, what kind of lawyer are you? See, being a lawyer don't make you rich. You better be a special kind of lawyer. And then if there's too many of them, go do another specialty. In other words, you got to keep reducing yourself to becoming, let me just give you the word. To become valuable, here's what you need. Number one, significance. Number two, you need uniqueness. And number three, you need originality. How original are you in what you're doing? If I open a shoe store in the Bahamas, I'll become successful, you know. I know how to become valuable. First of all, I won't sell all the shoes in the world. I might decide I'm only selling shoes for nurses. I'll become valuable right away. Every nurse in Bahamas will come right to my store. We'll bypass your store, come to mine. Why? I became unique. I became special. If you sell everything, you're going to go broke. That's why most people in this room are still struggling with success. Because you keep changing your jobs every 3 years, changing your vocation. We didn't know what you are. Matter of fact, the last one is important. Specialization. If you're going to become successful, your gift makes you... Listen, you ever seen a bird trying to moo like a cow? And then the next morning, the bird trying to bark like a dog. No, birds stay with being birds. They fly. You don't find a bird trying to say, put your dang and try to swim. They stay in their gift. I saw a picture one day, you know, sis. I saw a picture of a bird. I was sitting in a hotel lobby, and I saw this big picture, this big bird. It was a real picture. Big cage in the lobby of this hotel in the Philippines. And this bird was a beautiful bird. And the bird was there all the days we were in that hotel. Never flew anywhere. And the bird would fly around this cage, land the same place. Just fly around the cage, land the same place. And I sat in the lobby many days. I come in, I just look at the bird. Wow. And Holy Spirit says, you see that? That's how humans are. He said, that cage is most of their jobs. They actually fly in there every day. They open the door for them. They come in and they lock the cage. And even though they could fly anywhere in the world, they're trapped in this little space. But here's the beauty of that bird. Even though the bird is trapped in the cage, it still could fly. The cage doesn't take away the gift. It just limits it. I don't care where you're working right now, friends. They might let you go next month. It really doesn't matter anymore after the session. They could never take away your flight. You know, sometimes the Lord will actually break up the cage because you don't want to leave. know, Pastor Richard and I used to work for the government. And they told us what time to come to work, when to eat, what time to leave, and how much we are worth. And I remember we came to the point where we had to decide to come, you know, full time into this vision. Because we can build this thing, and there's no limit to how big we can build it. But boy, there's that security piece, you know. You say, oh, the cage. At least I know where the cage is. You know. And I know they can feed me in the cage, throw a little bit of rice in there once in a while. And, you know, so we got this thing. Now, I'm not saying that jobs are bad. Because sometimes the job is the place you go so you can develop your gift until it's time to fly. And for heaven's sake, don't fly too soon. But if you, the point I want you to get is know your gift. So in case they move the cage or put you out the cage, instead of getting depressed and falling on the ground, you fly higher. You just go, thank you all very much for the time, and then just fly. In the name of Jesus. That's what a male needs. A male needs to give security to his woman. If anything happens, baby, I'm still going to make it good. Why? What I got, baby. What you married is in me, baby. You didn't marry what I do. You marry who I am. Say amen, somebody. You didn't marry the career I have, because I might lose that. You marry the gift that's in your baby boy. Yeah, man. You know, sometimes we think, you know, that in the Bahamas, we always had hotels. No, man, there's a time when we had just sponging, fishing. You better start collecting more ideas. Your gift may be fishing. And they're trying to make you an IT specialist. What is your gift? You become successful when you refine your gift. Refinement. In the name of Jesus. The powerful gift. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Read it aloud, please. It says what? A man's gift makes room for him and will bring him before great men and kings. I told you that I'm leaving here in a few hours to go to South Africa. I'm not going to a crusade of a million people. I'm going to the guy who makes decisions for them. And he's not inviting because he knew I was a Bahamian born in Bahamtown, eating canep and juju. He's inviting me to get the gift. Let me tell you why gift is important. Listen to me. Here's why gift is important. If you know you have a gift, and everyone does, it's just that you haven't found it, you know, properly. But once you find it, you also become very protective of being manipulated. See, once you know your gift, you can't be manipulated by people no more. People don't threaten you if you have a gift anymore. They can't threaten you. You know, I'll fire you. No, you can't fire me. You are privileged to have me working at this place at this time to use my special gift in your behalf to improve you. So behave yourself and pay me a little bit more money. You can't threaten a person. This is very important what I'm saying now. See, your gift protects you from manipulation. Here's what I mean by that. When you are aware of your gift, then you know that people don't love you because of you. Okay, you can get that some other day. This is very important. See, let me take him. Help me, baby, because I know how to say this. Okay, listen to me. Holy Ghost, help me. Okay, listen. 99% of the people around you every day don't like you. Settle that. What they like is what you got. That's all. That's all. I mean, let's be honest. Y'all don't like Michael Jordan. Don't know the fella in the world. But you like that gift he got. And we would shut down every Monday night when he was playing. No one could disturb us. Everybody lock. Yeah, go. I mean, he made us shut down. He didn't know him. Listen, you're not in love with your dentist. You ain't in love with the surgeon. They got a gift. So you need someone to give you surgery. Yeah, listen, we ain't coming to fall in love with you, son. Just fix me. You come for their gift. So when people applaud you, make it like water off a duck's back. When they come in, oh, you're such good. Don't trust them. They're talking about your gift. They ain't talking about you. It's your gift they're talking about. So don't take it personal. You understand me? It protects you from manipulation. Because people will manipulate you and make you feel like you need their approval. But your gift protects you. Your gift shall bring you before kings. Why does the king want you? He don't want you. He want the gift. When the man found out in Egypt there was a crisis. By the way, this is the greatest time in the world for your gift to be developed right now in crisis. You see, when crisis comes, the world looks for gifts. I'm going to say this again. Please, write this down. When crisis comes, the world looks for gifts. Pharaoh was in trouble. The economy about to collapse. He know he's in trouble. He says, look, there's a gift in jail. He don't know who Joseph is, don't know who his mama, papa, no one. He says, but I understand the guy could interpret dreams. He went for the gift. What did the gift do? Read the verse. It brought him before Pharaoh. But not only that, it made him prime minister. It's your gift. Never confuse what you study in school with your gift. They are not the same thing most of the time. Sometimes when you finally come to God, you realize you studied the wrong degree. Because he shows you your gift, and your gift was not what you studied. So you wasted 4 years and $50,000. That's why the Bible says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose will prevail over everything. That means once you come back to your purpose, you realize, boy, prevail over my degree. My degree was a waste of time. Because it's your gift that makes room for you, not your education. Selah. You were born with the seed of greatness trapped in you, men. And your seed is your gift. Your gift is your leadership. You were born to lead in that area of gifting that you have. And you must discover your gift, which becomes your assignment in life. And that's what the woman comes to help you with. The reason why a lot of women are working on their own and on doing their own stuff is because in many cases, they cannot find the man who knows his project. Do you know what a woman really wants? She wants to help her man succeed. She does. But most of the time, the man don't know what he want to do. Or ain't doing nothing. Or ain't got no interest in doing anything. Haven't discovered anything. So the woman is frustrated. And she got all this weapons and all this anointing, all this intelligence, all this wisdom, all this stuff she brings. And she meets this person who don't know what they do. I want to show you a little verse and then I get it home. Oh, we're in South Africa. Let me show you a little verse. Turn, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, chapter something. What I want to read. I just heard something just now in my voice. It says, Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Got it? So find Psalms and then go all the way and find Ecclesiastes. After Proverbs. Okay? We can look at chapter 11. Look at verse 6. By the way, I want everyone to listen to this because this is so important. I've seen people violate this verse and go broke and destroy their families. Here's the verse. Everybody got it? Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening, let not your hands be idle. Because because you know not which one will prosper or succeed, whether this one or that, or both will do equally well. That verse saved my life as a teenager and still is doing it today. Let me interpret that verse for you. Sow your seed in the morning, that means go to work on your job. And in the evening, don't let your hands be idle. That means find something to do after you get off from work, start another job. Do your own little thing. He says, because you don't know which one will succeed. God doesn't want you to have two jobs. What he wants you to have is one job and your work. Comprende? Comprende? Verstehen? Understand? Please understand this. That means you shouldn't leave your job before you are secure in your work. He said, do both. Bahamas Faith Ministries was built while both of us were still working. Me and Pastor Richard, Pastor Henry, we were all working in different places. We didn't come into this ministry full time until it was already able to handle everything. Let me put it another way. You start work after you leave your job. I'm talking to you, man. See, your job tells you how much you should make. Your work tells you make how much you want. What is important, CD? Get the CD, get the anointing of this. See, if you let your job become your only supply, you're in trouble. Because if they ever take that from you, you collapse. Solomon says, go in the morning, plant your seed, and in the evening, keep working. You don't know which one will prosper you, he says, or even both. Hey man, you got a wife and kids. You can't experiment with an idea and walk away from a job that could take care of your rent and your stuff. Use the wisdom of the Bible. The Word of God says you do both until one of them outgrows the other. You can't experiment with your family. I got this vision. Yeah, you got a vision, but you need sense. Oh, it's 1 o'clock. Okay, I got to go. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, thank you all for being with me today. I got to go. When I come back, we can find out where the gift is, how to find the gift, okay? Close your Bible. Let's go home. Praise the Lord. 1 o'clock. Father, thank you for the word today. Bless your people. Let them find their gift. Amen. Pastor Richard, please close the meeting. My pastor, will close the meeting for us. Praise. Give Pastor Richard a hand. I love you all. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to make sure you get a copy of that CD today. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. I want to also encourage the men, if you were not able to make a session, maybe the sessions that you made, some that you missed, I want to encourage you to get a copy of all those sessions that you missed. There were some very, very important sessions that we had during this man's conference. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of those. Amen? Hold hands with your neighbor next to you, if you will. Let's bow our heads. I want to encourage you to take the words that you received today. You know, the Lord had a lot to say today. He said a lot. Take the words that you received today into this week. He reassured us today that He will take you. Take that word with you. An adversary comes and tries to tell you something else. Take that word with you this week. Let him be your sustainer. He's not limited by
your job or your lack of a job. The earth is still the Lord's. I said the earth is still the Lord's. He didn't give it up. Continue to trust him. Let your faith be in him. Take that word that you heard with you this week. Take the word that you heard this, just a moment ago. Seek to discover your work, man. Get a copy of this tape. Listen to it 7 times. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, before we go, we want to give you that opportunity. We would be remiss if we did not give you that opportunity today. Maybe you thought about it for a long time. Maybe you even went to church. But you really never made that decision to give your life to Jesus Christ. For him to become the Lord of your life. The Savior of your soul. I want to give you that opportunity today. If that's you, just ask the person next to you to just excuse you. And I want you to slip out of your seat and come. Come join me up front. We want to pray with you today. We want to pray with you. If that's you, just slip out of your seat. Maybe you're an older person. Maybe you're a young person. Doesn't matter. If you've never made that decision, this is your day. The Holy Spirit brought you here today to keep an appointment with him. He wanted you to keep an appointment with him. If that's you, I want you to slip out of your seat. Come, join me up here. Let's pray together. Let's get you aligned with the one who died for you, the one who loves you. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I believe there's somebody here who needs to do that. There's a couple of people, in fact, who need to do that. You know that you don't have that relationship with the Lord. You know that. You know that. And you didn't come here today by accident. You may have thought you just came to come to church. But no, you came because God had an appointment with you today. There's more than that one. There's more. There's some more of you. You had an appointment with God today. I want you to keep that appointment all the way. Just ask the person next to you, just excuse me. They'll excuse you. And I want you to come up here and let's pray together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your Father. I'm going to wait another couple of minutes. There's some more of you that need to do that today. Holy Spirit's talking to you. He's drawing you to the Father. I want you to slip out of your seat. Don't allow the adversary to fool you. Because he'll tell you, you don't have to do it today. You can do it anytime. It's a lie from the devil. Tomorrow isn't promised to you. You really don't know about tomorrow. Hallelujah. We'll wait another couple of minutes. If that's you, I want you to come. We want to pray with you and welcome you into the kingdom of God today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your Father. If you don't know if the person next to you is born again, I want you just to ask them, is everything okay with you and the Lord? And if it's not, I want you to come with them and bring them down here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul said these words to Timothy. He said, Timothy, I'm talking to the men here today. He said, Timothy, do you remember when I laid my hands on you and I prayed over you and I stirred up the gift that was inside of you? That's what made you what you are today, Timothy. I don't know, but I believe that there may be a man here today who say, Pastor Miles, I heard what you said, but I don't know what my gift is. I don't even know what it is. I don't know how to find it. I don't know. The Bible says that if you let the elders lay hands upon you, they can stir up your gift. That means they can germinate the seed. They can actually activate it, and it begins to rise up. And you will begin to see who you are, what you were born to be. I want to encourage you as a man, if you need to have that gift stirred up, or maybe you want to see more gifts come out of you, will you slip out of your seat and just come and let one of these elders just lay hands on your head. I'm going to pray a prayer while they pray for you to stir up that gift. Your future depends on this gift. Your survival depends on it. Your capacity to overcome crisis financially depends on your gift. This is too important for you to not get that gift stirred up. I'm not talking about your job. I'm not talking about your career. I'm not talking about, you know, what you're professional in or what your profession is. Ask God to show you your gift. Let's just lay hands on you and pray for you. That gift be stirred up. That gift be stirred up. I want to ask some of our real men to come and pray with these men who are coming as well. And Brother Harley, can you come? Some of the real men council, please come. Let's lay hands on these men. Just stir up. Ask God to stir up that gift. Help them to find it. Help them to find it so that their families will be safe and their families will be secure. Ask God to stir up that gift. And ladies, you know, you got gifts as well. Your gift is the most powerful thing you possess. And I pray that you will not allow a man to smother your gift. But the Lord will give you an environment in your relationship that will allow you to become all you were born to be. That His gift would inspire your gift to become a great gift. It's not a wise man who holds a woman back. A good man makes room for the gift of his wife to become great. Ladies, lift your hands, put it on your head right now. I'm going to ask God to also stir up your gift. Begin to pray and ask Him to show you who you are and who you were born to become. Ask God who you are and who you were born to become. I want some of the other men, there's some men at this altar that need someone to pray with them. Come out of your seat and come pray with these men. Ask God to stir up their gift. Maybe you found your gift. Come and help them. Father, I pray for these women, precious, wonderful women of God. Lord, when you made the woman, you said, this is very good. These women are very good. They are good for us. They are good for this community. They are good for the country. They are good for the family. These women are good. They are very good for the marriage. Oh, but God, many of them have been oppressed. They've been smothered. They've been abused. They've been ignored. They've been suppressed. Today I ask for a miracle from heaven. That Lord, as they touch their heads, let your hand come upon their heads today and stir up their gifts. And let them see that they are more than an assignment of a career. They are more than a job, but they are great women like Deborah and Esther. Women of God who changed the world, who impacted the world. Lord, stir up their gift like you stirred up Priscilla to become a businesswoman, to help her husband to become a great man in the city. Stir up these women and let their gift make room for them. Lord, take them beyond their education. Take them beyond the experience. Take them beyond the career. Let the day be the birth of a business. Right where they live, Lord, let them make their hands busy after their job. Lord, I pray for the same anointing that come upon these men, that they will no longer go